Good morning. It's very exciting to be with you this morning. It's a little rainy outside, but it's nice, warm, and dry inside these walls. As it was mentioned, my name is Sergei Sosetkin. I am a minister with Back to God, overseeing the Russian language outreach of this wonderful ministry. I started actually some time ago, because right after I was done with studying at Reformed Bible College, not far from here in Grand Rapids, Michigan, I got somehow connected to Dr. Joel Niederhood, and he was the one who encouraged me to go to Calvin Seminary and then to get ordained and to start working with Back to God. But I will be telling you a little more about our ministry as part of our sermon. And before we go into this sermon, let us read the scripture that we will be looking at. And this is Psalm 98, and also the whole of Psalm 98, and also the first verse of Psalm 99. Sing to the Lord a new song, for he has done marvelous things. His right hand and his holy arm have worked salvation for him. The Lord has made his salvation known and revealed his righteousness to the nations. He has remembered his love and his faithfulness to Israel. All the end of the earth have seen the salvation of our God. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Burst into jubilant song with music. Make music to the Lord with the harp and the sound of singing, with trumpets and the blast of the ram's horn. Shout for joy before the Lord, the King. Let the sea resound and everything in it, the world and all who live in it. Let the rivers clap their hands. Let the mountains sing together for joy. Let them sing before the Lord, for he comes to judge the earth. He will judge the world in righteousness and the peoples with equity. The Lord reigns. Let the nations tremble. He sits enthroned between the cherubim. Let the earth shake. This is the word of our God. What makes us happy? What makes us excited? What puts us into the mood for celebration? You know, when you move from one place to another, from one country to another, you discover that people have different answers to those questions. You know, in some areas of the world, people are very excited about a little piece of bread or a very humble meal. But maybe your kids or your grandchildren are a little different. I remember when I just came to the U.S. to study in college, I was very surprised how many people were excited about a cup of coffee in the morning. And maybe you already had one. I hope you did. But, you know, at that time, I was coming from a country that didn't have much in terms of coffee drinking, because Russia was traditionally a tea-drinking culture, which is different today. But back then, that's how it was. And I didn't like coffee at all. And I couldn't understand why people were so happy about that. I remember hearing that some people were excited about driving on an empty highway. Some of my friends, you know, I guess they were coming from Chicago and they were around here and they were just surprised that the highways are empty. But to me, it was very difficult to understand their happiness because, you know, I was coming from a big city of Moscow, very similar to New York City in the sense that not many people have their own cars there, and basically you rarely drive, and if you drive, then usually, yeah, traffic is pretty bad, but there are no highways there. You know, you're always stuck in traffic, regardless. So some things that people are celebrating, some things that people are excited about, they may sound curious to us, but oftentimes they're not very profound and they're not universal. You know, they wouldn't apply to people in many other countries, or they wouldn't apply to people of a different age, even in the same country oftentimes. You know, so we are separated as a human race, we are separated in the things we celebrate. You know, based on our culture, on our geographic location, on our age, on our net worth, you know, lots of things that separate us in our, you know, those celebrative issues. And as we are looking into this separation, as we're discovering our differences in happiness, then we stumble upon this very powerful Psalm 98 and then a little bit of Psalm 99. And we see that there is a description of cross-cultural and universal celebration. The celebration that starts within God's people, then it extends to the whole of human race, and then it even extends to the rest of creation. In a poetic ways, you know, the psalmist is writing about the earth bursting into jubilant song. And then we are reading about the sea resounding and everything in it, and the whole world and all who live in it. And the rivers are clapping their hands, and the mountains are singing together for joy. So obviously it's a very powerful celebration. You know, we may even think it's somewhat excessive, you know, so exuberant. So what are the reasons for this powerful and exuberant and somewhat excessive celebration? As we are looking into this psalm and in the context of this psalm, we discover three reasons that have three dimensions, three times. First reason is something that the Lord has made for us in the past. Has to do with something that the Lord has made for us in the past. We read, "Sing to the Lord a new song, for He has done marvelous things." When the original hearers of this psalm, when they heard it, of course they thought about in terms of what God did in the history of His people. They were looking back and recounting how God led His chosen people from the slavery in Egypt. They were recounting how He revealed Himself to them and made covenants with them. Today, when we are reading these words, we are thinking more in terms of something that we Reformed Christians call the redemption history, the redemptive acts of God on behalf of His people. And of course, we are thinking in terms of Jesus Christ on the cross. This is something that God did for us in the past. And this is something that we can be excited about no matter where we live or what language we speak or how old or young we are or how wealthy or poor we are. That Jesus Christ came into this world and preached His good news and died for us, and then He rose from the dead and now seated at the right hand of God the Father. Something that we were recounting earlier this morning in the Apostolic Creed. As I mentioned, I'm overseeing the Russian language outreach of Back to God Ministries. And once every maybe 2 years, all ministers that oversee different languages of Back to God, we get together. Usually we have 10 languages, so there are 10 people. We are quite a diverse group of individuals. You know, we speak different languages, we have different levels of energy. You know, when it comes to talking, we have different backgrounds. And then when you listen to our programs, for instance, if it's a radio program or if you watch a TV, you know, it's going to be very different. You know, the one program is in Japanese. It may sound very exotic to most of us. Then there is a program in Spanish, which is full of energy, you know, or Portuguese. They're very energetic people, full of excitement in their proclamation. Then we have French, or we have Chinese. All these different languages, different cultures. But then what brings those programs together? The fact that they're proclaiming the good news of Jesus Christ again and again. We are looking back in history, and we are recounting what God did for us in the person of Jesus Christ. And you know, regardless of where our listeners are located, regardless of what kind of programs they hear what languages we're using, when someone hears this message, and when God is using, the Holy Spirit is impairing those words in his or her heart, those people, they cry first for their sins, but then they get excited. They get happy. They enjoy so much celebration in their heart because they realize God did all these things on their behalf. That in Jesus Christ we are saved. And this is the best news that you can hear in the media today. So for us, it's all about sharing the ancient history or the ancient story of the gospel when it comes to the ministry of Back to God. That's what we are doing. And when we are doing that, God is using our efforts for his glory. You know, when talking about the joy of the gospel, the celebration of the gospel, I'm always reminded about my own grandmother. For a long time, she was the only Christian in my whole extended family. You know, the rest of the family, we weren't Christians, we weren't connected to the church, we didn't read the Bible, we didn't pray. But my grandma, on my mother's side, she was a very devoted Russian Orthodox Christian. And she would often go to church, and she would talk to us about how wonderful it was there. And I knew that her life wasn't so easy. You know, she went through the World War II. She was on the occupied territories of the Soviet Union, barely survived that, almost died of hunger. Then later on, she could never be very, you know, successful financially because of being a Christian. She had to work as a cleaning lady. That was the only job available for her. As a Christian. But you know, she was still very joyful. And then even the fact that her closest, her loved ones, they weren't Christians yet, but she prayed for us, and even though she was grieving for us, she still had this joy inside of her heart. So occasionally she would tell me that she is so joyful because she knows that God loves her in Jesus Christ. And to me, this response, this explanation at that time sounded somewhat fishy, you know, not profound enough. But then later on, when I discovered the gospel of Jesus Christ, when God opened my personal spiritual eyes to the beauty of his gospel, I realized that my grandma's explanation was very profound, and very powerful, and the explanation that actually makes sense in the whole world, you know, regardless of your background. You can be joyful because Jesus Christ loves you. This is something that God did for us in the past. You know, my own conversion, I knew my grandma was a Christian. She wasn't allowed to tell much to us about her faith. She would mention that she goes to church. We could see her praying. We saw some of the prayers written down or some of the scriptures written down. For a long time, she didn't have a Bible of her own because it was so rare. So she had parts of the scriptures copied down with her own hand. But then at the age of 14 years old, I started listening to radio, and I heard some Christian programs coming from outside of the Soviet Union. And that's when I heard the gospel for the first time. And I was very curious, wanted to know more. Eventually, when I was 18 years old, I got a New Testament for the first time. And read the whole of the New Testament, and I was so moved by this story, what God did on my behalf in Jesus Christ, that very soon I found myself in a local church. And the part of a new member class that I had to take was to explain, you know, why I am so happy and why I can celebrate the fact that Jesus Christ is my Savior. So when we go through happy times and when we go through sad times, let us be reminded that Jesus Christ did for us what He did for us, that we are saved in Him, and that we are His children. He is our best hope on this earth. Second reason for celebration that we discover in this psalm, it has to do with something that the Lord is going to do in the future. We read in the verse 9, "Let them sing before the Lord, for He comes to judge the earth. He will judge the world in righteousness and the peoples with equity." And let's be honest, when it comes to the issue of judgment, we oftentimes struggle with understanding. How can we celebrate that? How can we be excited about the fact that God will be judging the world? The good explanation comes to us from Acts. Acts 17. Verses 30 through 34. There we read that in the past God overlooked such ignorance, but now He commands all people everywhere to repent. For He has set a day when He will judge the world with justice by the man He has appointed. He has given proof of this to everyone by raising Him from the dead. So you see, the judgment will be done, or the judge will be Jesus Christ Himself. And as we know what He did for us in the past, we can look forward to what He is going to do for us and for His people, for God's people throughout the world in the future. Let's be honest, you know, if we look into this world, if we look around us, we discover that oftentimes God's people do suffer at the hands of the wicked ones. It is oftentimes that the immoral ones are triumphing in this world. And that's why God is encouraging us by this revelation that there will be a judgment, that there will be a revelation of justice to everyone in this world, when all the good things will be rewarded. People who serve God the Father through His Son Jesus Christ by the power of the Holy Spirit, they will be blessed even more. And then those who fought against God, those who persecuted his people, those who were wicked ones, they will be punished. God's justice and God's righteousness will be revealed to everyone at that moment, and it will be a moment for celebration. One of our elder listeners encourages us with the story of his own life. His name is Nikolai. He was a teenager when Nazi Germany occupied the part of the Soviet Union where he lived. And they had a program that they would draft some teenagers who looked strong enough. They would draft them for slave labor in Nazi Germany. And Nikolai was one of those unlucky ones who was drafted to serve in Germany. He had to go through some very hard labor. He oftentimes thought that he would die of hunger or he would be killed because there were lots of bombardments going on. But he survived. And even more than that, he somehow discovered the Bible there in the Russian language. It was in Germany, and he read through it and he became a Christian. So when later, when he was liberated, he came back to his village, and as a Christian, he decided to start a youth Bible study. I guess he spent too much time outside of the Soviet Union. He didn't realize how bad that was. So quite soon, Nikolai was captured. Someone reported on him that he was conducting Bible studies. And Nikolai found himself in a courtroom. And, you know, it wasn't God's judgment. It was a human judgment that is oftentimes filled with sinfulness and is so unjust. So Nikolai got 25 years of labor camps. As a young man, you know, just fresh out from Nazi Germany. And he thought that his life was ruined. He assumed that he is going to die there, especially when he discovered that the conditions were so harsh. You know, he was taken to northern parts of the Soviet Union and had to work there very hard. And he said, as a Christian, he was always dealing with the issue of how not to feel, you know, bitter and vengeful towards those who are persecuting you. Because he says in his letters to us, he narrated that he felt he could easily be overcome with hatred, but then it wouldn't do anything to his captors, but he would hurt his own soul. He would hurt his own standing with God. That was his feeling. And that's why every time when he was feeling down, you know, every time when he was upset about what happened to him and he wanted to be filled with revenge or with bitterness and hatred, then he would remind himself of the fact that God is going to judge the world and he can put all his hope and all his trust into this future judgment, future revelation of God's justice. So when we live in this unjust world, it is important to realize that the justice will never be complete here on this earth. But in the future, this justice will be revealed to everyone and we will be able to celebrate it all together. So coming back to Nikolai's story, he spent maybe about 5 years in labor camps, and then Soviet dictator Joseph Stalin passed away, and there was a big amnesty for political prisoners. He was allowed to go back to his village, and actually he even started a small village church there. It still wasn't easy, you know, it was still the Soviet Union times, but he managed to build this church. He got married, they had kids, a wonderful church, and he's for a long time he wrote to us and encouraged us that we shouldn't be upset if we're going through some difficult times, you know, that we shouldn't get carried away with that, because God is still in control, and if we are suffering for his name, then we should be encouraged by the fact that his justice one day will be revealed to everyone. And that's something that Psalmist is celebrating. And this is something that is explained to us very well in the contemporary testimony. Some of you may remember it. It was written by Christian Reformed Church as a denomination, sometimes in, I believe, the 1970s. Our world belongs to God. That's the name of this testimony. And there I found a very nice explanation, a very good explanation why we can and should be excited about God's future judgment. There we read that we believe that one day every challenge to God's rule will be crushed. His kingdom will fully come and the Lord will rule. On that day, we will see our Savior face to face, sacrificed lamb and triumphant king, just and gracious. He will set all things right, judge evil and condemn the wicked. We face that day without fear, for the judge is our Savior, whose shed blood declares us righteous. This is a very beautiful explanation of why the psalmist is excited about the future judgment, why he is celebrating it, and why we can also join him in celebrating God's upcoming revelation of justice to everyone. So this was the second reason that the psalmist is celebrating. And then there is a third reason that the psalmist is excited about. And it comes from the greater context of Psalm 98. We already heard a little bit of this reason from Psalm 99, verse 1. But, you know, the psalms, they come in sets. The sets that are connected with common words, common themes, common grammar. And there is a very nice set of psalms here. It starts with Psalm 93. And already in Psalm 93, verse 1, we read, "The Lord reigns." Then Psalm 96, verse 10, "Say among the nations, the Lord reigns." Psalm 97, verse 1, "The Lord reigns, let the earth be glad." And Psalm 99, verse 1, what we read already in the morning, "The Lord reigns, let the nations tremble." So you hear, for psalmist, it's a present reality that the God reigns, the Lord reigns. He participates in the lives of his people today. It's not something. It's not just something that he did in the past, and it's not something that God is going to do in the future. But there is this present reality that the God reigns. He participates in our sufferings. He encourages us. He leads us through this world, through this life. And he is near. Again and again in the outreach of Back to God, we hear the responses from people who were touched by the Lord. Through our ministry, you know, through the proclamation of the gospel. But, you know, we are trying our best in proclaiming the gospel, yet we realize that we are quite limited. You know, we are limited by some laws that are on books in Russia today. We're limited by funds. You know, we don't have enough of that. We are quite small, you know, and maybe we're not, you know, the the most talented people. I mean, we have to be honest with ourselves. We are good in some areas, but still, when it comes to the proclamation of the gospel, sometimes I'm thinking, oh, I wish we had this, you know, very profound people who are such wonderful speakers. We are good, but there are better people out there, you know, let me tell you. When it comes to talking, when it comes to presenting something, there are always better people out there. Yet somehow God takes our message, takes us as frail as we may be, and uses us and uses our message for His glory. I mean, that's amazing. That's a huge mystery to me. How is this happening? But obviously it's the work of the Spirit. And then we hear wonderful stories, you know. We hear stories of people who are set free by Jesus Christ from their addictions. You know, I'm reminded of Dmitry. His grandma wrote to us, and she was so excited that her grandson is now... He used to be an alcoholic, but now he is free from his addiction, and he is in the local church, and he is hosting Bible studies at his house. You know, people were accustomed that he used to host drinking parties, but now he is a new creation in Jesus Christ. And his grandma, she said, "I realized that this is all God's work, and I am so happy, so excited about the fact that the Lord reigns, that He participates in our lives in a very direct manner." We use it back to God. We use radio, TV, online outreach, conferences. We have different publications. And as a result, we receive hundreds of thousands of responses every year. Every day we have text messages, email, we have questions from people. Sometimes we even have handwritten letters. One of the email we received some time ago, it was from a lady who wanted us to come and visit with her personally because she had some questions about Christianity and the gospel. And I have to be honest with you, you know, we receive lots of those invitations. And as I mentioned, thousands of responses. And despite our best effort, it's very rare that we have a chance to visit with those people. Oftentimes they are far away. Even if they are not too far away, the amount of work is huge. So we oftentimes try to encourage those people to go to their local congregation so their questions can be answered there. But with this email, we discovered that it was coming from a cancer clinic in Ukraine, in Kyiv, Ukraine, one of the top cancer clinics there. And the lady who wrote to us, Valentina, she explained to us that actually she was dealing with a deadly cancer. And she was there alone because she's originally from a different area of Ukraine. So her family spent the whole money, all money they had for her to go to that clinic. But they didn't even have money left to visit her very often. So she was there alone. And the only thing she could do was to listen to radio. And that's how she heard our program. That's how she heard the gospel proclamation. And she had some questions. So then after reading the whole thing, we knew that something had to be done. Maybe we didn't have much time. We didn't know. And here is this poor soul struggling, basically, in the face of her own mortality. Our worker in Kyiv, Lika Roman, who works a lot with letters and messages and emails that we receive, she found time and she went to Valentina, to that cancer clinic. And there, when she was there, she discovered that actually Valentina was in a room with a few other women, maybe up to 10 women. There was a big room and there were other patients. So when Lika came, she sat down by Valentina's bed And in a very soft way, you know, in a very soft voice, in order not to disturb others, she shared the gospel of Jesus Christ. She shared her own testimony. She talked about her grandma's walk with God and her battle with cancer. And after this presentation of the gospel, Lika asked Valentina if she would like to pray for salvation. And Valentina, in a breaking voice, she said, "I would love to. I'm just so overwhelmed to hear what God did for me. I'd like to pray for salvation." So they, two of them, closed their eyes and were ready to start praying when Lika, she told me this story, I wasn't present there, but Lika Romana, worker, when she says that she heard a voice and she felt, she said that she felt almost a bit scared. She didn't expect to hear a voice. Then she immediately opened her eyes, and it turned out that the lady who was next to Valentina, laying on a bed next to Valentina, she said, "Oh, please excuse me. I'm very sorry to interrupt your prayer, but I couldn't help overhearing what you were talking about, and I also would like to join you in prayer. May I do that?" And Lika said, "Yes, of course, join us. We can pray together." And then they closed their eyes and they were starting, they were about to start praying. Then there was another voice. There was another lady who was nearby. She said, "Yeah, I also would like to pray. May I join you?" And Lika said, "Yes, please join us." Then four of them about to start praying, there are more voices coming, and then there are some complaint actually in those voices, because they say, "Yeah, it's good for you, those lay who were close to you know, to hearing this, but we're so far away, and you are a young lady speaking so softly, you know, what's wrong with you? Can you stand up in front of all of us and speak loudly about the hope in Jesus Christ, and so that hopefully we can pray together afterwards?" And Lika did that, and she presented the gospel in a loud voice in front of this group. And then she invited all women who were present there to pray, and they all prayed together. And Lika said that after the prayer was finished, there were quite a few tears in that room, you know, because there was this huge, people were overwhelmed, women were overwhelmed with the love of God and the presence of His Spirit and the excitement about salvation in Him. So you see, the Lord reigns even in the midst of our most unfortunate circumstances, in the midst of tragedies, in the midst of some difficult things that we may be going through. He still reigns, and He comes into the middle of our bad things, and somehow He brings comfort and hope even in those difficult times. I'm glad to report to you that Valentina, this cancer clinic a patient, she is doing well. She was cancer pronounced cancer-free later on, and she went back to her place where she came from originally, joined the local church there, and from what we hear, she is active in that local community of believers, and she is praising God for giving her this opportunity to serve Him. The Lord reigns, and as unfortunate as our circumstances may be, He is in the midst of them. And this is something that we can celebrate regardless of where we live, regardless of how old or young we are. You know, it doesn't matter how wealthy or poor we are, what language we speak. The Lord reigns. He saves us. He leads us through our lives in accordance to His will. So lots of wonderful stories, lots of things of God's reignship, and I'd like to thank you, your congregation, for your participation in the ministry of Back to God, for your many years of faithful support. I understand that the Chinese department, the Chinese outreach of Back to God was so blessed with your prayers and with your financial contributions. We are looking forward to partnering more with you and to do whatever is necessary for God's good news to be proclaimed throughout the whole world. So in the very beginning of our Psalm 98, we heard about the new song. You know, I sing to the Lord a new song. And actually in Revelation, I believe we find lyrics of this song. There we read that with the whole creation will join the song that has those words, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and praise. He has made us a kingdom of priests to serve our God, and we will reign on the earth." God will be all in all. Righteousness and peace will flourish. Everything will be made new, and every eye will see at last that He reigns. Amen. And now let us bow our heads in prayer. Father, we are thankful for this beautiful piece of God's inspired Hebrew poetry that we read this morning. We are so excited about what you did for us in the person of Jesus Christ. We know that we are His children. We know that He died and rose for us, that we are chosen in Him to be God's followers. Father, be with us, and wherever necessary, again and again, remind us about the fact that Jesus Christ is our Lord and Savior. Father, as we are discovering again and again the injustices around us, as we hear about huge injustices against God's people in other countries where Christians are oftentimes persecuted, we pray for your justice to be revealed, and we are looking forward to the day of your judgment. We are looking forward to the moment when everyone will see your justice and your goodness. We look forward to the day when everyone who was serving you will be fully rewarded, and those who were wicked ones, those who fought against you or against your people, that they will be brought to justice. Father, as we are reflecting about our past in Jesus Christ and about our future in Jesus Christ, who will be our judge on the final judgment day, we are reminded about the fact that Jesus Christ is with us today. We are reminded about the fact that you reign even in the midst of the most sad and unfortunate circumstances. Father, as we hear about bad things in the world, as we hear about persecution of your people and the difficulty for the gospel proclamation, we are comforted by the fact that you reign. And even in the difficult moments of human history, your goals are always achieved. Your will is always done. Father, personally, in our service to you, encourage us through the Holy Spirit by this sure knowledge of the fact that you reign. Encourage us and give us strength and give us energy to serve you and to proclaim your good news to our loved ones, to people who are close to us, who are close by, and even to those who are very far away, but who also need to hear about about the fact that you reign. In the name of our risen Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.